Yo, 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 what's up, guys? You guys know what it is out there. Homegrown Podcast with Jamaro McClain.
And Raphael Anthony. Welcome to our show today, which is really awesome because we actually get the chance to have our first visual artist guest.
Wow.
Yeah, so welcome on board.
Thank you very much.
So before we get started, we want to definitely say thank you to our sponsors, which is Cultural Alliance of Long Beach. Cultural Alliance of Long Beach is a nonprofit organization dedicated to showcasing artists, creative types, and community engagements in Long Beach. Check out their website at facebook.com. And also,
we also got Art, Music, and Culture, which is basically abbreviated AMC, is an organization to curate. Who wrote that word, bro?
We have notes in the back. I wrote it with my
curate
chicken crest scratches. Curate art and music.
I know, I always mess up when I work. It just throws me off. Art and Music Expeditions. Make sure you follow them. Art, Music, and Culture.
Yeah, at Instagram. So thank you so much. So to get started, we have Catherine Hansen.
Hi.
You for joining us.
How are you?
We have a little bit of your work around us, which is pretty cool. So I was looking through your work. You specialize in nature, pencil art, graphic, and graphite. And
color pencil.
And color pencils.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Your work is astounding.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah. How long have you been doing this for?
Well, like most artists, all my life, right? So, but I started doing a pet portrait business in 2007, and I've been growing that. And then actually in 2010, I went to Africa with my siblings.
Wow.
And that just really kind of changed everything. Where animals before were kind of in the background, I did a lot of urban scenes, and now they came forward and I started doing a lot of portraits of them, and now it's turning into putting animals more into landscapes. So I'm kind of expanding on it.
Looking at your work, what kind of made you go towards that? I mean, we're going to talk about Africa for sure. That sounds like
I like the animal. I'm the king of the jungle, by the way, because I'm a Leo and I have a lion tattoo.
Oh, awesome.
Which looks like one of your artworks. I have that tattooed on me.
Oh, wow. Simba or Mufasa?
No, that's Mufasa. That's definitely Mufasa.
So what is it that brought you? You say you started a pet portrait business?
Yeah, in 2007. Well, I had just got through doing huge, ginormous murals for my sister. She did her whole backyard of her house and planted it into this huge garden. And so she wanted murals. So I quit my job, actually, and did paint and murals for 2 years. And then when I was done, I'm like, oh boy, what do I do now?
You know,
so I started.
Once projects are ended, you start thinking about the next thing. Like, what?
Not me. I just kind of wait till the last minute, you know? And
that's cool.
What should I do?
I was raised and grew up here in Highland Park.
Oh, okay.
That city behind Dodger Stadium. And what inspired my work when I was a teenager is all the murals in that area.
Oh, yeah.
And it was very driven towards the community. Mm-hmm. So a mural artist is a little different.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about graffiti artists that come around?
Oh, I actually love graffiti art. In fact, I used to draw graffiti art.
Really?
Yeah. I should have brought a sample of that.
So,
I love graffiti.
So. Oh, that is so.
I don't like tagging, but graffiti.
But back to that pet studio. Was it people dressing their dogs up and then taking pictures? Like, that's what it sounds like.
I have not had actually anyone send me a picture with their dog dressed up.
Well, you know, you see them.
Yeah.
They wear sweaters and have little socks on.
But I did a what was that? Beverly Hills had outdoor fair, and so I participated, and it was for dogs.
Oh, I see.
And the people next to me had their whole tent was full of dog clothes, and they were selling like crazy. I didn't sell anything.
If anything, pet lovers are the most like
crazy.
I've seen a poodle and Gucci.
Hey, if it comes to your pet, you'll spend anything, right? A poodle and Gucci.
Oh yeah,
I swear I did.
So you were doing pet portraits. So I need to ask you, are you a cat lover or a dog lover?
Pretty close, but I have to, I probably sign more on the side of the cats.
Yay, I win. I win. Well, you're,
right.
Well, cats have their own, they do their own thing. Like, you know, when you come home, they're like, oh, okay, it's you again. And they're still
My cats dogs, actually come up to me.
So it's like dogs, you know, dogs, you feel the more affection. Like, they miss you.
Oh,
and they're excited to see you. I know, right? I feel like cats are just in their own, oh, it's you. Hey,
cats
it's you
just
again.
Don't care.
It's you again. Hey, how's it? Like that you're roommate that you guys lived together for too long. That's how I feel about cats. They don't show as much personality as dogs, to me personally.
I think they just care if you feed them.
You just
them.
Don't have the right cats.
I know. No, some cats do act like dogs, though. They are.
I have two cats that always try to go for a walk when I take my dog out, so they have a lot of dog tendencies.
So tell us about Africa. You went to Africa.
Oh, my God. That was a dream trip. And we saw all Big Five. So
now, the Big Five, for people who don't know, is the beast you can only find in Africa.
Yeah. The elephants, rhinos, lions, water buffalo.
Crocodile, isn't it?
No. Did I say hippo?
No.
Okay, I said hippo. Rhinos.
Rhino, hippo, but, it's different.
Hippo. slightly different.
They both be in the mud and they're really heavy.
They're humongous.
What was going to say, did you go on where the animals come up to you, like a safari? You know, they like, you're
well,
safe,
you
but
have
you're not
to
safe.
Be in the Land Rover. You cannot leave it.
Yeah, of course.
And you can't stick your hands out, but they do come right up next to it. And it's just amazing. And there was, we had three of them. So the elephants, especially the first time we went out, it was the elephants. And they walked between our cars. And it was just so amazing.
You never felt like you were in danger at all when you were that close to someone?
We had actually one charge us. And we didn't actually, we had three drivers that, or guides that stayed with us the whole trip. But we... Because they couldn't, they had to take the cars one time when we hit four different places in Kenya. And so they had to drive, and it was like a 6-7 hour drive, but we got to fly there. And so we had the guides from the place there, and their car didn't start at one point. And an elephant was charging us, and he was a little scared. We got scared.
Exactly. When you're like, you're supposed to be the professional.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be
the
Indiana Jones.
Off into the woods. No, I'm just kidding.
You're supposed to be
everybody for themselves.
You're supposed to be the one giving us confidence that we're safe.
Yeah.
So that fight or flight kicks in, and it's like whoever's the slowest is going to be the one
exactly.
that not
all I have to do is be faster than you.
Exactly. Survival of the fittest.
So you came back from Africa, and you started specializing and now doing more portraits of animals.
Yes.
Out of all those mediums, which one is your favorite?
Well, I've worked in almost every single medium there is, and I love probably graphite the most.
Me too, yeah.
But colored pencil sells much better. So, and it's a whole different beast too. I thought
that
it was going to be the same.
That is so honest.
I'm selling
that
out.
That is so honest. If people are buying it, I'm going to do that.
Yeah,
that's,
exactly.
That's why I like pop art, to be honest with you. It's like, is that Marilyn Monroe? Okay, she's there's a goofy colors on it, but it's Marilyn Monroe, and I'm going to buy it because it's
sold.
Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, what makes the most money, right? Well, now why is it you think that the pencil art sells more? It's just that's what you are. You're perfected at?
I'm a single mom. So I had two kids from the time, I was on my own from the time my kids were super little. So while they were doing their homework, that was the easiest medium to pick up. Mm-hmm. Painting was just impossible while they were doing their homework and projects and stuff. So that was easy. I could pick it up and put it down really fast. And then I just loved it. So
that's true.
I just stayed with it.
The smear factor is very low. Actually,
well, not a graphite.
Pencil.
Well, for me,
yeah.
I can get pretty messy with it. So
there
I usually have
to
stop the top down.
So you guys are speaking a whole different language from me. I said, smear what? Smear campaign?
Yeah, right.
Smear knobs. No, sometimes when you're painting, depending on the type of material you're using, you can accidentally smear your work.
So who are some of your inspirations? I was going to say... because you know you have your own style, but I know you kind of get from someone or
the typical major guys are Andrew Wyeth and John Singer Sargent and Edgar Payne, but the ones that have like inspired me the most are Robert Bateman. I don't know if you know him. He's one of the biggest wildlife artists. actually in the world. And then Terry Miller, he is an amazing graphite artist, and I've learned so much from him. He has a great blog, and so I've followed him religiously. And
it actually helps you with your craft.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because he talks a lot about composition, and he and actually, because I've been following him so many years, the piece behind me, I got into the Birds and Art Show in Wausau, and I actually got to meet him.
Oh, yeah?
So I was all geeked out.
That's awesome.
You got starstruck.
Yeah, I don't care about movie stars. Give me artists. Yeah. And Robert Bateman was there, so I was all like, wow.
It really looks, you see, for you guys, of course, we have our awesome friends that are listening to us on anchor.fm/homegrownpodcast. But also, we are on YouTube, so if you look at our display, you'll be able to see the pictures that we're showing. But you can also follow her on Instagram.
It looks like a picture, though.
Yeah.
It looks like a photograph.
I just like details.
I'm like, that's how I started looking. I'm like, let me see that water. Oh yeah, that's a drawing. Like,
it's a very unique talent because it's a technique where you're layering. If I'm not mistaken.
Well, it's actually my technique is called negative drawing because all the white in the the white is the white of the paper. Mm-hmm. So I draw around.
Yeah, it makes it pop. It makes it pop more though too.
Yeah. And so this was a merganser I saw when I was in Wisconsin a few years ago. And then, so I drew it. And I was kind of a rock star at the Birds and Art Show because I applied my first time and got in on the first time, which is not really heard of because it's a pretty major show.
You know, some other artists like, well, what does she do?
So that was, the experience was just unbelievable.
So tell us about that event.
So Birds and Art, I used to live in Wisconsin, northern Wisconsin, and just a little bit above me, there's a wonderful museum called Liaki Woods and Art Museum. And so every year they have a Birds and Art Show in the fall, and then they have a master artist in there. And so people from all around the world try to get in it. So it was almost, I think it was like almost 1,000 people tried for it, and 94 pieces got in. And then 125 with the masters because they automatically get in. But it's a 4-day event and they pay for your hotel. Wow. And you're
like
treated
like, when you get
this
sponsored
is like the
for
Oscars for the artists. So it was pretty amazing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and they have buses and you get on and you meet all the artists and they have all these receptions, and so you're just treated like a rock star there.
Like, finally.
So I want to get in again this year.
You'll do it. You'll get it.
Oh, I don't know.
So your paintings remind me of a movement that's existed, which is hyperrealism, which is that utilizing textures to look like a real-life photograph, but in action.
I know, but you know what? I really would never consider myself a photorealist.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think that's too much pressure.
Isn't it?
Amazing work.
Why is it so much pressure to do that?
Just to make it, I think my drawings look like drawings. They look amazing. Hyper-realistic, it looks like it is a photograph.
It does.
Like, exactly. And
yours is pretty damn close to it.
No,
which
it does.
Is kudos. Which is
I'm
lots of
anal
respect.
About it, but
when I first went to your website, I thought the elephant was a picture of an elephant.
Oh, really?
Like a black and white,
like a black and white photograph.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, she's a photographer.
His actual name is Obama. He was at the elephant bedroom camp.
Is it really?
Yeah, they named him Obama because he was like a resident elephant there.
That's fun. Oh, Nigeria and Kenya. Yeah, because he's Kenyan.
Yeah, because when I went over there, he just became president. So everyone was just thrilled.
That's funny. I kind of look like him too. So, he got
beautiful eyes.
After 8 years in the office, right?
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
They age a lot.
No, you can definitely see the lines.
Come back to us, Obama. We miss you.
I know.
No, your work is amazing.
Thank you.
You have an amazing history. Can you tell us a little bit more about your work in regards of education and what helped you pursue the career that you currently have?
Mm-hmm. Well, I actually didn't know I wanted to be an artist till probably my senior year in high school. So
that's pretty early too, though.
You think so?
Yeah,
oh,
people don't know what they want to
that's
do.
That's good. I thought that was late.
Oh yeah, I see what you're saying. Tiger Woods is playing golf at 5. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Not yet. Or people start playing the piano at 3.
Yeah, exactly.
All of a sudden, that's what they do. I was like, oh, that's what she likes.
All I wanted was 10 dogs. That's all I wanted when I grew up.
It's a nice dream to accomplish.
But yeah, I mean, a lot for myself, I started when I was a teenager, but I wasn't able to pursue that. I wanted to go to UCLA, but unfortunately, I got uprooted and taken to a whole different state. But so I had to pursue my career more business-wise, but and it was till the later years that I finally got the chance to pursue my work in art. For yourself, you've been doing this.
Well, I wanted to actually move out here and go to art school, but my parents wouldn't let me. So I went to college and did art there. And unbeknownst to them, on my sophomore year, I changed my major to art, which I didn't tell them for a few years. And then I graduated with a BFA and got my portfolio together and applied to the Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design and got into that about a year and a half later. And when I got there, it was such a different atmosphere, and I was really kind of overwhelmed by it. It was all really professional people, and the students were all like, you know, on a test when someone's covering up the work, it's like, don't look at my work. Where I came from, an atmosphere where we all shared and we were friends and we just like hung out together.
It's good vibes, like good energy.
Yeah. And then this art school was, and I'm sure it's not that way anymore, but it was pretty scary for me. And I wanted to go into illustration, book illustration, and the teachers were saying, yeah, you know, the deadlines on that are pretty gruesome. So that scared me away. Because
it leads towards commercial art.
Yeah.
Well, your love and devotion to animals is very apparent. Your amazing work in regards of nature art. What do you think this social media has affected artists? Have you had to shift from the, you know, your movement in the early 2000s?
Has it helped or hurt artists?
Oh, definitely. Well, for me, it's really helped because I sell a lot of my art through Facebook. And I've got even though I don't have a large following, it's like 1,400. They're very, they're awesome people, and they're very loyal, and they buy for me, and then
someone will get a following too.
Yeah, and a pet portrait, and then someone in their family gets because of them, and then they come back and get another one, and their friends. So some of my clients have gotten me lots of pet portraits. So yeah, and then I've sold this one. I sold to someone on Facebook.
This one sold.
Yeah. Okay. When I was in the middle of it.
Yeah,
so,
it definitely looks like a picture. I thought it was too when I walked in.
Oops.
It's already sold.
Sold.
Yeah, I just bought it.
Exactly.
$5,000. Thank
Congratulations.
You.
Congratulations.
The price just went up.
That's really $5,000?
No. Only for him.
Only after you ruin it. After you ruin an art piece, it became $5,000. What do you think about the movement of the street art for example, Banksy?
Oh, I love his work.
Isn't it
amazing? Yeah, it's amazing.
It's political and it's a little edgy, but I feel like it's just it's like upgraded graffiti art. Like it's upgraded.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it is.
It's an art studio on the streets. Like,
yeah.
It's just a different kind of canvas for artists, you know?
He's using the environment.
Yeah.
Technically, cityscape as his canvas. It's like, I don't care what's it. Is it a door? I don't care whose door it is.
It's so clever, though. It's cool.
It's working.
Yeah.
Because before he became discovered, he was technically in the underground. Not many people knew about him, and then it just blew up from there. The big thing that I had an issue with social media in the beginning, early days of MySpace, for example, early 2000s, is that a lot of the art that the artists put out there were being stolen. Like, they steal the
images,
picture.
Yeah,
screenshot or copyright. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, so that's why I was wondering, is it helping us? I think we've come a long way from that. I think it's starting to help us a lot
less of that is happening these days. I don't hear about it as much as I did in the early days, where actually corporations were like stealing artists' work.
So it's like if it has your name on it, even though they could crop it out, it's
absolutely.
You copyright your
artwork.
Or
have their own artists copy the exact same thing and it's theirs. I used to see that in the beginning a lot, but I don't see that too much anymore. At least I don't see people complaining about it. But
yeah, because it's really damning to take someone else's work.
Oh, yeah. If you see one of your pieces on the side of a skyscraper in New York or something, you'd be like, I need to call my lawyer. Like, something has to happen.
First, I got to get a lawyer, and then I'll have him call.
Well, something's going to happen here. Somebody's going to pay for that.
Yeah.
And you're like, I think
big time.
Where is it? The Big Apple. We're getting paid today. Who's using it? No, that's awesome. Have you ever? I would think it tends to see it, but have you done anything like calendars or coasters?
I model if you need a model too, by the way.
You what?
I model if you ever need a model.
I stopped doing people a while ago. Oh, sorry.
Man. I'm also morphing to animals. You need a black panther.
Just put some kitty ears on.
Black. You seen that Michael Jackson video? He turned into a panther.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
That is so.
Now, I was thinking of George Costanza on Seinfeld when he took those pictures, like, with his feet all up. He went in the studio. He went and made, like, he was embarrassed of him because he was trying to look sexy. But then he ended up just looking
George?
Silly. George? Yep. He had his shirt off, and it was like,
oh, isn't that where
opposite of sexy.
Also, Kramer ended up being like a portrait of
himself. Oh, that was awesome, wasn't it? Yeah. I love that portrait.
Became like the portrait, like this character represents so much. It was just amazing, the description of it. No, your work definitely is very inspiring for other artists, mm-hmm. I believe. Thank you. That's the thing about visual artists is they do, in a way, help others without even mm-hmm. knowing because of the work that just keeps being brought up. To a student out there who's trying to move, because you know how difficult it is in finding your niche.
Yeah,
finding your, absolutely. Like, this is the medium that I prefer, and this is the topic or the element that I really enjoy. And to locate that takes a while. You're trying sculpting, you're trying
this. It took a long time to, build that on social media. Instagram seems a lot easier than Facebook back in the day. But it's all genuine. I never paid for any ads or anything. So it's all people that really wanted to be on my page. And I've learned actually how to work Facebook to gain more people. So, it's
I heard the Facebook ads are worth it, though.
They do work.
What's his name? Gary Vee was talking about that. He's like, you should invest in now while they're cheap before they go up. Like, if you have a business or something, like, Facebook ads work. You'd be noticed when you're on it, like, the side little sponsors or advertisement. Just be random, whatever you're Google searching or looking up.
Isn't that crazy?
It's really crazy.
I know. It's almost like creepy.
Yeah, they're spying on you. They're spying on whatever you're looking up.
Lingerie.
Yeah. Be careful what you search.
But no, Facebook.
Use another computer.
It's Facebook, definitely. I see a lot of comedians doing that once they get a big following. They have shops and they end up selling shirts and different merchandise from Facebook. And it actually works really well.
I'm glad that it's still affordable, to be honest, for small businesses, because I advertise for our podcast show on Instagram. Cool. And it's not that expensive, but I sometimes somebody tells me, hey, your video hit 1,500 views. That's really awesome. And I'm like, well, yeah, I paid for half of that on Instagram advertisement.
You'd be surprised.
It's true. I want people to know.
We pay for it, and we're not ashamed of it. We pay for our ads.
Because we want people to know and appreciate our work.
Most companies pay for advertisement.
That's the truth. But it's come to that, where we are ourselves, make it for ourselves. A lot of the movements previously is artists trying to have exposure through a gallery location or sponsorship location, because doing it on your own technically won't be discovered till in the later years. Now, because of social media, it seems that it's easier to be independent.
Yeah. Well, I was actually in a gallery, but they shut down a year and a half ago. So. Oh. Yeah, so that was kind of a shame, but
that's sad.
That's happening to a lot of galleries now.
Yeah,
a lot of brick and mortar places are just shut down. So this is a great place for artists to be able to find all kinds of new people.
That's why we're so appreciative of having Cultural Alliance of Long Beach representing us, and also they do a phenomenal job of hosting local artists in this location, which is really awesome.
That's very cool.
It'll be really neat having your work here one day.
Thank you. Yeah.
Hanging the whole walls here. So I keep seeing her cat paintings. It's really nice. I haven't seen one dog yet.
She has a bunch of dogs.
There it is. But so animal lovers reach out to you. I need to try
that. Yeah, that's a great way to connect, because so many people love animals. So it is a really nice way to.
Why haven't I done it, gosh dang?
Oh, yeah.
You have any animal jokes? Dog cat jokes.
There was a cheetah one.
That's as popular. That's
my go-to one.
I start off. Now I ruined it.
No matter where I'm at.
Sorry.
No matter what room I'm at, it always goes to it. It always works.
Now people are listening to us. They need to know, how does the joke go?
Never. You gotta go see me at a show.
You gotta go see him at your show.
I'll be at the Comedy Store tomorrow, actually.
Awesome. The Comedy Store in Hollywood. Yeah, is the right? Is that the one?
Yep.
Yeah, that's the only one. Yeah.
Dave Chappelle just won a Grammy. He in the same room that he filmed his last Netflix special at, was in that same room at the Comedy Store.
So who's your favorite comedian? Or
yeah, past, present. Past,
oh my goodness. That's really putting me in spot. I didn't prepare for that one. I don't know if I have a favorite, but I do love comedians. And I'm really bad at names. Who's that one? Is it Joffrey?
Jim Jeffries.
Yeah, he's crazy.
He's very amazing.
Funny. I think he's from like Australia or London.
Yeah, Australia, I think. Yeah. I've seen all his specials on Netflix.
He has an amazing bit on gun violence.
Yeah, he's
gun control.
He's, like outside,
he's just like, there's no filters for him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just tells it how it is.
Yeah.
Tells it how it is.
Those are the best comedians.
He doesn't care if he offends anyone. That's perfect.
Exactly.
Yeah,
Richard Pryor.
He offends everyone, so you know.
One time he started his bid by saying, "I know I may have offended the Christians, but remember I also hate Islam."
He ain't leaving nobody out.
And then he said, "Remember, when we're fighting ISIS, we're not fighting against Islam. We're fighting against religion." And yeah. It's just trying to differentiate the differences. but Jim Jeffries is an amazing comedian.
Yeah, he's very funny. And actually, I saw Sarah Silverman on Netflix, and she was actually pretty funny. I thought that was a really good special.
She has a distinct kind of style, too.
Yeah.
You have to really understand her humor to appreciate it, because she does the same thing. It's like for shock.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She does the religion jokes and abortion jokes. But what's your dog name? Because he looks like...
isn't that cool?
Your dog looks like the dog from The Mask. Remember that Jim Carrey movie?
Oh yeah.
It looks like...
That does look like the dog.
I forgot his name. I think it was like Miles or something.
Miles. It was Miles. Yeah.
That's Miles too.
His name is Miles.
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, sick. You copied the movie.
His name is Indiana Lloyd Lewis Kid.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Indiana Lloyd Lewis. You got more names than me.
That's going to be a nice, expensive little headstone for Indiana Lloyd.
Whenever I'm mad at him.
Fold out.
Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones.
Does he sleep in your bed or he sleeps at the bottom, like right next to your bed?
Oh, no. He has to sleep basically on top of me.
He's only no dog.
He's very uncomfortable. And then I end up with about this much space by
the
morning.
That's funny. Yeah, he knows his spot.
Yeah. The whole bed. And he doesn't sleep vertical. He sleeps horizontal.
That's why.
Yeah, but I'm like this by the morning.
So, in my experience, for sure, because I've gone through it, so I need to ask you, can you share with us a moment where you're busy in a project, you're almost done, but something fails? Like either...
Oh, I never fail.
Okay. It's just me. Like something going wrong.
Like you sneeze, like, and then put a light in a picture.
Actually, I can pretty much fix anything
I know, right?
Screwed up.
I'm thinking of
what's the part that I hate.
What's the painter's name from PBS? I always forget his name.
Ross.
I love Bob Ross. Yeah.
So like, even if it seemed like there's no sense, what do you say?
Happy trees, happy tears in the paper.
Here's another happy
mistakes. What do you say?
Happy mistakes, happy trees.
I just feel like
happy little clouds.
You can always fix them. Like he put me to sleep. To this day, I can watch him. He has a soothing voice. But I always got that. Like it's no mistake. You just make something out of it. Whatever you messed up on.
You know, my kids, when they were little, used to do some things to my artwork when I was in process. But luckily, they were paintings way back then. So
they used to sabotage her?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Dang. Kids could be cruel.
They were mad at me.
Kids could be cruel.
I didn't get my after-school snack.
Wow. My goodness, your house. That's house of Manson.
I was going to do that to my dad because my dad has been clean and sober like my whole life. And I was going to spike one of his Kool-Aids.
That's I was like, well,
maybe we'll have him snap.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it would have been way worse.
Come on, that's way worse.
Yeah, it would have been worse. It would have been pretty.
Ah, Dad.
Yeah, he would have went off on the edge if he's like, accidentally drunk liquor. You waste 20 years sobriety, now I gotta start over.
He's like, Jamario, you got me.
I was gonna do it, but I never did. Instead of putting liquor in it, I just put it the edge of the cup, the edge of the fridge. When he opened it, it was gonna fall on him. And it actually worked too. It was Kool-Aid, and it got all over his suit. Because I knew it was the first thing he goes
in
the fridge.
I love you. You're evil like me.
He goes in the fridge, right? Like problem child. Damn, I just confessed doing that. I was lucky my dad don't watch my podcast, Dad.
Now you know where the anger comes from.
He'll remember it, too. I know he would to this day.
So to a young artist out there who's trying to find that niche, find that movement, what can you share with them? What tips, what advice can you share?
I would mostly say hang tough, because I don't know, for me personally, I don't know about you, but I wanted to quit many times.
Every day.
You just have to, every day. Yep. You just kind of have to hang in there and slowly build your audience. You know, it takes time. Everyone wants like to post it and, oh, where's my 3,000 hits on it, you know?
Yeah.
It takes years and years and years to build that up. And get people that, and you don't want just people following, you want people that are really kind of loyal and love your art and comment and share. And I would say don't give up, just keep at it, because it takes years and years to build your business and find people that follow you and want to follow you and buy from you. And it all takes time. You can't rush it. You know, there's nothing you can do to force people to like your art. You got to build it. And with social media, part of my whole thing too is you have to socialize with people and be interested in them. What's in it for them?
Yeah.
So it's not all about me, post all my pictures, buy my work. You have to socialize with people and get to know them.
Share a little bit of yourself to them. Like,
yes.
Like a Instagram story really helps a lot. Like talking to your fans and telling them, this is what I'm doing today.
Yeah.
So on. Really awesome. So you can,
but people, you know, write me questions all the time, and I always respond to everyone that writes me, and that's really important, because I see some artists when I'm scrolling down and they don't respond, and I'm like, you're gonna lose people, because
you're more personable with them. Like, they feel like they know. You're like, I know her. She responded back.
Yeah, and it's a lot of technical questions sometime, or personal, or you know. But I always respond with a lengthy response. I don't just say thank you, you know. I'm very grateful for all of them that follow me. So, and that's part of it, is being really grateful for the people that do show up.
So we really thank you for coming to our show and getting a chance to share your amazing work. So where can they find you online and social media?
Are we done already?
Well,
let's go on for hours.
30,
come on.
I know.
She'd be watching Joe Rogan podcast.
I know. It's like
3-hour podcast.
I wish.
Tim Ferriss, too. Remember listening to him? 2.5 hours. Come on, we're just getting started.
I agree. I totally agree.
No, you can find me. I'm on Instagram, Catherine Hansen Drawings. I'm on Facebook, just Catherine Hansen, and my website, katherinehansen.com. You can write me at KH at Catherine Hansen. Anything that's katherinehansen.com.
Right. When she first started, she had a website just called Hansen, but a lot of traffic from that band was getting pushed over there.
Oh, yeah.
So it was a little miscommunication.
I had to write for them.
Right?
I wrote a lot of their songs.
You know what's funny? Like, if you would have had a website before they got real popular, they would have had to buy that domain name from you. You know that, right? They literally would have had to buy it from you. Would have just got Hansen website. That's, people do that, actually.
Yeah,
or they would have done Hansen325.com.
Nah, they would have bought that. Right? They would have bought the rights to that, because that's the name of their band.
Yeah.
Like, that would have been so funny. You'd be like,
I'm
I have my website since 1990. Exactly.
Apple, and now this.
You got an opportunity to invest in Apple back in 98?
Oh, I wish. I wish I could go back.
Before it blew up.
Oh, God.
I wouldn't be here. I'd be in Paris.
You wouldn't be here talking to me.
Oh, yeah. She would have been gone already.
Yeah.
So we definitely thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
So we get the chance to say to you guys who are listening to us, please remember to follow us at anchor.fm/homegrown podcast. And
cash too. Senior cash. We'll take it.
Yeah, we'll all take cash.
And definitely follow us on Instagram at homegrown_podcast. And if you're watching this on YouTube, please subscribe. We really appreciate your support. For Homegrown Podcast, Raphael Anthony.
Jamara McClain.
Catherine Hansen.
Cheers.
Peace and love.